Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Vegas Therapist. I am your host, Ryan Winder. And remember, what's happening in Vegas is not staying in Vegas, as I bring you helpful tips in all sorts of topic areas with a Vegas twist, of course. So let's get the show started. What is up, everybody? It's good to have you back in for another episode of The Vegas Therapist. I'm your host, Ryan Winder. Got a great episode for you today, but before I get to that, just wanted to thank everybody for tuning in for the last episode and, you know, giving the feedback about the mental load. I had a lot of fun with that one. You can go check out my TikTok as well to see the TikTok I created for that episode. As many of you know that listened to the last episode, know that I did a little experiment with that one, and so I just wanted to give you the results of that experiment. I mean, personally, I think I did pretty well, but you may have to ask my wife about that. She didn't know I was trying to be more anticipatory of her mental load and trying to take on things and do my part and be more proactive in just the household stuff and making decisions. More importantly, not necessarily making decisions, I guess doing the research as far as decisions and just basically doing all the stuff that is involved with the mental load. And like I said, I think I did pretty well on it. Again, you can go to my TikTok and check out the TikTok I made with her. It was pretty funny. But nonetheless, it's something that's a work in progress all the time as far as trying to be more in tune with our partner's mental load and not necessarily asking them what they need from us or making a list or any of that stuff, but us just being better at you know, educating ourselves, understanding it, and acting more impromptu on our own to try to lessen that load. So continued efforts on that part, both myself and anybody else who's listening, I encourage you to do that because it is definitely something to help our partners with. So speaking of partners, today I wanted to record this episode before Valentine's Day, which is tomorrow, which is of course a great day for couples, for relationships, to celebrate, to be together, to spend time together, to focus on one another. So I hope you all got plans for that and hope you want to, you know, be with one another and again be able to spend that time together. So I thought today I would record an episode about relationship essentials. And, you know, as I think about my practice, sometimes I forget that I've been doing this for 20 plus years now. And I've obviously seen thousands of couples come through my office. And even though I see individuals as well, I still see a lot of couples and, you know, get to experience like the good, the bad, the ugly, all the differences with relationships, what is good for relationship, what's not good for relationships. And so sometimes it's just a matter of like putting those things on paper and being able to like acknowledge the fact that, you know, I do have an expertise in this area and I do am able to see like what makes a successful couple and what doesn't, and the things that couples come in with that are definitely detrimental and things that, you know, you try to help them with that can bring them out of whatever difficulties that they may be in. So sometimes for me, as I look back and like I said, been doing this for 20 years now, I just think, man, you probably got just enough information in your head to share with people about what relationship essentials are without doing research, without looking up an article or anything like that. You just need to spitfire or brainstorm a little bit and think about it in that way. So that's kind of what I did. I have a paper in front of me that's just got some of my notes on it, some qualities of relationships that I think are important. And so I'm just going to kind of go through them and share them with you. And I hope you'll find them helpful and valuable to your own relationship. And if you feel like it's an area of concern, then try to implement it into your relationship and just kind of go from there. So these are my relationship essentials. And I want to say they're not really in any particular order. Although I will say this for the first one, especially, I think it's a foundational component. And I think any time that you see this one kind of fall by the wayside, it's really hard to get back, and it's really hard to overcome completely, maybe, if that's the right way to say it. But basically, I'll just say it's like trust and honesty, but in particular, trust. I mean, honesty is something that we choose to do. We choose to be honest or not honest, I guess. And so trust is reflective of that honesty and in whatever way it may be. But I think when you see a breakdown of trust in a relationship, not that it can't come back, not that it, you know, isn't possible, but it definitely creates challenges in the relationship, with security and understanding and connection, all the different things. And that's just not something that you want, obviously. And I mean, even in my own relationship, I've had challenges in this area as far as like, you know, like, hey, I might tell stupid white lies sometimes and then think about why did I do that or why did I say that? And whether that's my own shame or different things or not wanting to be a disappointment, it's like those things just, they still break down a relationship. Even if they're simple things, they still cause problems. And so it's something to be mindful of. And like I said, from the trust standpoint, you know, being able to not put yourself in situations where you break that trust, whether it be infidelity, whether it be some kind of addiction or whatever it may be that leads to, breaking trust. Those things definitely put a strain on a relationship, and one that, like I said, can be overcome, but definitely takes a lot of work. And I don't think that people sometimes realize when they come into my office how much work that trust takes to rebuild. And I think a lot of times they're left looking at their partner and be like, hey man, I'm doing everything I can, or, you know, I'm trying, but that wound is massive and it takes a lot to work through. So trust and honesty, that's probably the foundational one. If that goes away or if that's broken, definitely couples are on a shaky foundation, and a lot of efforts needed to bring that back. And like I said, I don't think that people always recognize the amount of work that it takes. I mean, even in infidelity books, it talks about the repair taking 18 to 24 months just to get back to a better place. And that may not mean that the trust is fully restored. That just might mean like, hey, we're not fighting as much about the infidelity. We're not talking as much about it. But that doesn't mean that the trust has been fully restored. So definitely a lot of work. So just keep that in mind. If that's an area where you're struggling with it, it's just that one's going to take a lot of time to repair and rebuild. And hopefully you just don't have to do that. Hopefully you can have trust and it can be permeated throughout your relationship. So along with trust, there's another area that I think is important that doesn't necessarily get talked a lot about, which is mutual respect. And to me, mutual respect just simply means that each person values who the other is and understands their values in the relationship and their boundaries as well. Something that I did kind of look at just happened to come across, where it's like, you know, when we're in a relationship with somebody, you know, I think mutual respect can reflect that we're not trying to change that person. We're not trying to make them be something that we would like them to be or think that they need to be. We just respect them for who they are and for what they bring to the table and for the qualities that they have, and just sort of embrace them and try to utilize them to help us grow and help us be a better person as well. So definitely mutual respect is important, because I think anytime somebody feels like that they're trying to change the other person that feels like that they're trying to be changed often rebels from that or doesn't feel good about that. So definitely some mutual respect is needed in a relationship. A third one, I'm going to move to like some of the things we probably think about more so when it comes to relationship essentials, and that's connection. There's a saying that I say from a book called How to Improve Your Marriage Without Talking About It. And it goes like this: when couples are in trouble, oftentimes you think about communication. We're not communicating well. We're not, you know, talking about things. And I read this quote in this book, and I use this with couples all the time. It's like, you know, because couples will come in and be like, yeah, we don't communicate very well. We need help with our communication. And I always think to myself, I'm pretty sure you communicate fine, or you can communicate fine. It's just whether you're choosing to communicate, or your maybe communication is positive or whatever. But most people know how to communicate. But I think a lot of times what's gotten in the way, or what's not there, is a sense of feeling connected. And so I think a relationship is essential, is connection. And, you know, I know there's going to be ebbs and flows with connection in our relationships. It's going to come up and down, where it's like sometimes we're going to feel more connected, sometimes we're going to feel less connected. I think that's pretty natural. Obviously not letting that connection go too far long down the road, where we really can get into trouble by feeling so disconnected that, you know, again, other things may pop up as a result of that. But staying in that place of feeling connected, you know, whether it's through intimacy, whether it's through having fun together, spending time together. I mean, these are all the things where you think about connection, where it's like, you know, other things kind of come into the play, whether it's the love languages, or meeting one another's needs, or kind of treating each other, kind of having, like, you know, making sure that we're friends, that we like to spend time together, we want to be together. You know, and like I said, intimacy is a big part of connection, but it's not the only thing. You know, it's definitely not the only thing. I think we want to kind of put all our eggs in that basket sometimes with intimacy or sex, but feeling connected happens in so many other ways. It can just be having a, you know, a conversation at the end of each day, sharing a part of our day with each other, you know, a glimpse into each other's world. Like, what was your day like? What did you experience? What did you deal with that maybe I don't understand, or maybe that you want to share with me? That's definitely connecting. I mean, it's also communicating, but you also feel like you connect with that person when you know their world. I mean, that's a big thing that Gottman talks about in his books. You know, he talks about the love maps. Well, the love maps basically is essentially knowledge that we have about our partners, knowledge that, you know, helps us to not only understand them more, but be able to try to connect to them in a better way. So again, connection. So if you feel like you're struggling with communication, sometimes the best way to fix that communication is to think about connection. And if I'm not feeling connected to my partner, what can I do to feel connected, or what can we do to feel connected so that we can get things back on track? And again, even with connection, thinking outside the box, it's more than just intimacy or sex as well. A fourth one, which I think is really important, especially over the course of time, you know, in a relationship, is that we are supportive of each other's goals. Because not every goal that we have in a relationship is going to be a relationship goal. You know, sometimes you have people in relationships where maybe you have one spouse that wants to go back to school, or wants to further their education, or wants to, you know, have like a promotion, or you know, or I mean, try to work for a promotion, or do something better in their career, whatever it may be. You know, sometimes I see this a lot, where, you know, people might say they support their partner and their goals, but it's almost like, are they willing to do the sacrifice that goes along with that? Are they willing to, you know, maybe spend a little extra time with the kids because the spouse is away? Like, I remember my wife went back to school. She went to nursing school when we were married and our kids were going back. Our kids were all in school. And that was definitely a sacrifice for us all. You know, I had to pick up some of the slack. Our kids had to pick up some of the slack. Our oldest, I think he ended up cooking chicken fingers and fries a lot of nights for his siblings, and things of that nature. And then later on, our kids were older. My wife had been to nursing school. She'd been working for a while. And then she wanted to get her bachelor's degree, and she did it through Western Governors, and was, you know, was doing that for a long time. Well, for 6 months, but it was an intensive 6 months because she tried to get it all done in the 6 month period that you can with Western Governors, where you can do as many classes as you want. And so that was something where, again, we as a family sacrificed time with her, in a sense, because any free time that she had was basically doing classes And, you know, it wasn't something that we were resentful about. It wasn't something that we, you know, I don't think held against or anything. It just, we just sat back and tried to support her and do what we could, whether it was like making dinners or just, you know, maybe we would go out and do stuff as a family without her, whatever it may be. But in that realm, we didn't try to make her feel bad or anything like that. We just tried to support her in the best way we could to achieve her goals. And like I said, I think that that's an important thing, is that, you know, the, we can verbalize support in a lot of ways, and we can say, oh yeah, you know, I support you in this. But what that really looks like in action is then our ability to make the sacrifices that are needed that help the other person to achieve that goal. And those are sometimes gut checks for us, you know, in a relationship. Can we really make those sacrifices? You know, like if it means I have to give up some weekends with you or a date night or whatever it may be, you know, am I willing to do that to see you be successful, to see you be happy in whatever it is that your pursuit is? I mean, sometimes that supporting in that goal could just be, hey, maybe your, you know, spouse or partner or whatever wants to, you know, run a race, a marathon or something like that. Can I support them in that training? Can I help them with those kinds of things? Can I do, you know, whatever that may take? Because that's a time commitment. Maybe it's a, for a short period of time, but it's still a time commitment. So, so my challenge to you in that one is just to think about, you know, how good have you been at supporting your partner in achieving their goals, and do you accept the sacrifices that you may need to take or endure in order for them to achieve those goals? Because a lot of times, you know, with my wife going to nursing school and doing that, I mean, it's a sacrifice for us, but it's a benefit for us later, right? And a lot of times those goals that our partners are after, that's how they work, right? They end up benefiting the other person in some way, some form, even if it's just that they're happier, right? They achieve something, they feel happier. We're the benefactor of that happiness. And so, you know, just something to think about as you think about your level of support in the relationship. So that's a big one. Another one was, and this one just kind of, I was thinking about this one today. I had a couple come in, and I read this article a long time ago, and it said the three things that couples need in order to be successful are skills. So they need tools, they need ways of working on things. They need commitment. A sense of commitment is really important, meaning like, hey, I'm there for you. I'm in this. I'm not wavering. I know it's hard, but I'm committed. And then the third thing is that it requires a sense of we-ness. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not individual goals. I mean, we just got talking about like that, supporting each other's goals. So there's still room for an I in a relationship, but we definitely have to cultivate a sense of we-ness. You know, when we're thinking about doing things, what am I considering my partner in what I'm doing? Am I considering them and how I'm approaching things? Do I think about them as far as things that I want to do or places that maybe I want to go or whatever it is, right? When I'm thinking about difficult issues, you know, am I considering what how they might feel about something? Family time, whatever it is, do I take them into consideration? Plans for the week? Am I thinking about how do I fit them into my schedule, or how do I fit them into, again, a weekly date or whatever it is? But having that sense of we-ness in your mindset, and it really is a mindset, because again, if we're just all about I, then there really is no we. I mean, I'm sure we've seen that in team sports or whatever it is, that whole method, but it definitely is a big thing for relationships, and being able to have that is really important. I think when it comes to, so that's really for that one, it's kind of like what it is, just cultivating a sense of we-ness in our relationship and making sure that stays there. I think the other thing too that sometimes gets overlooked is that, you know, a lot of times, and maybe some people might like not want to think of this as a relationship essential, but when it really comes down to it, difficulties are essential for relationships. And why that is because difficulties really test us, you know, and it's like, it's going to be something that's either going to bring us together or pull us apart. Now, maybe that sounds sadistic in a little bit of like, you know, wanting to have difficulties, but that's kind of when you see your true colors with one another. That's when you kind of see when, kind of like the whole idea when the rubber hits the road, what kind of person are you going to be? Who are you going to kind of like challenge yourself as? Or like, how are you going to show up? That's a big term right now, right? How are you going to show up for your partner in difficult times? Are you going to just fully kind of think about yourself? Are you going to think about them if it's something that they're going through? You know, like, I mean, obviously I'm in the time of my life where, you know, I've lost two parents. My wife lost her dad several years ago. Like even something like that, like how are you going to show up for your spouse, you know, in times of difficulty like that? I know I've heard stories where people have lost a parent and, you know, their partner is complaining that their partner hasn't grieved enough yet, or they haven't gotten over it. And it's been like a couple months or 3 months or whatever. It's like those kind of losses take a long time, and you have to be prepared as a partner to be able to, you know, support your partner during that difficulty in whatever way it may be. So I think that's really critical. It's like coming together in difficult times, showing up for one another really does forge us together. And I think it creates a level of intimacy that just is hard to get anywhere else if you're not going through something together. So as much as we might want to avoid difficulties, and I get nobody wants necessarily like, hey, let me just try to find something difficult to go through to help our relationship grow, but they're going to come regardless of what you do. And so when they do come, just think about, how am I going to show up for my partner in this moment when they need me the most? And those are things that are definitely going to fortify your relationship when you do that, and you can get through the other side of them and be even closer together. So that's another relationship essential. I mean, I think some of the basic things that just, and these don't need a lot of time, but whether it's like compromising with one another, taking turns, kind of like sort of, it's almost like giving in some sense, or giving way to what the other person maybe needs or wants at that time. Verbalizing things like appreciation, things like that are important on a day-to-day basis or frequently basis, to verbalize some level of appreciation for your partner. Those things are all important. I think the other thing, and this kind of maybe goes back to a little bit of mutual respect, so I may be jumping around with this one, but so maybe I'll just add this to mutual respect, because I think sometimes this happens is like, I think it's important that we don't try to, because with mutual respect, if it says that this is when each person values who the other is and understands their value and boundaries. And I think one of the things that we can kind of get into sometimes is that we want to define for our partner what something should be or what it should look like to them. And that's not necessarily always good. I mean, there are some situations that we go through together that maybe we might have misperception on, or we might see differently, that maybe we do need some kind of like perspective on. But I think there's other times when, you know, when we want to almost tell our partner what they're feeling or what they've experienced, and kind of like make them be us in some sense, right? And I just don't think that that's a good thing long term in a relationship, where, you know, somebody's telling you, hey, well, this was bad, or this was good, or this was whatever. It's like, because sometimes in our own experience of life, that may not have been bad. You know, we may not have felt something was abusive or was negative in our life, because frankly, it just was. You know, that was something that, you know, whether it's like for myself growing up with four brothers, like, were my brothers abusive to me? I don't think so. I think we were just brothers. We just like did crazy stuff sometimes. But so somebody, you know, my partner may be trying to define certain things for me or tell me what something was or what I felt or what I didn't feel. I said that's a tricky place. You know, maybe that's something where, you know, we can give them our perspective and kind of how we feel. But again, our experience could be totally different. So we have to give space for them and what their experience was. And I think that that's a part of the mutual respect aspect of things as well, too. So So anyway, I think those are, so if just to recap, I had mutual respect, trust and honesty, connection, developing a sense of we-ness, supporting each other in our goals, and then some of the other ones were just compromise and appreciation. Now, I want to leave you with just, and this is something I did look up because I was thinking about, okay, so what's something that maybe we can kind of focus on or make as a goal besides maybe whatever area in here that we feel like we need more of in our relationship? And I thought about this, I saw this, and I've heard different forms of this, but this is kind of like maybe an easy thing to remember. So something that you may want to talk about with your partner, and it's called the 7-7-7 rule, okay? So every 7 days, go on a date. Every 7 weeks, go away for a night. And every 7 months, head off on a romantic holiday, whatever length that may be, whether it's a week, 2 or 3 days, 4 days, whatever. So 7-7-7 rule. Every 7 days, go on a date. 7 weeks, go away for a night. And 7 months, head off on a romantic holiday. So do that. And I think that keeps us connected, obviously, in our relationships. It gives us time together, time alone, time away from kids, time away from the stresses of life, time to just focus on one another and do things that we enjoy. And maybe whether it's our dates or our getaways, maybe just take turns like going where the other person maybe wants to go and helping them to plan that or whatever it may be. But be engaged and try to do more of those things that bring us together, because definitely, just like I think difficult times can help to forge us together, definitely those times where we can just be together and be connected help to solidify us for difficult times ahead as well. So anyway, something to try, 7-7-7 rule. Thanks for tuning in for these relationship essentials. Again, hope you have a great Valentine's Day. Hope you're able to spend it with the person you love and do something special. But hey, don't make that the only time you do something special. That's probably the key about Valentine's Day, is just not making it the only time that's special. And this is the Vegas Therapist signing off. Until next time.